Blog Talk Radio.
Song, We Win, We Win, and I don't know, I was feeling it just a little bit more this morning. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to his goodness. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and you know what we're doing? We are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly I want to thank my co-host, praise the Lord. You know, I told her I'm going to have to stop calling you my guest host. I'm just going to have to find another name for you. And certainly the words just came out, my co-host, and certainly my co-host, guest host, whenever she can come on board. Certainly, I thank God for Missionary Terry Rogers, who did a phenomenal job on last week. I was absent because certainly I was preparing to be in concert with the choir along with my father for the Seven Last Words of Christ, and it was a phenomenal performance. That leads me into the announcement segment. Certainly, I want to thank each and every one of you that made it out to hear that moving performance. It was a joy to be a part of, and certainly I'm going to get tapes so so that those of you that want to see this moving performance on DVD can do that. Moving performance. And again, I want to thank my co-host who covered this blog on last week. I got a positive responses from her blog on last week, and certainly I thank God for that. I want to thank God. I thank you and thank each one of you for meeting me on last Saturday at 6:30 for the performance of the Seven Words of Christ. And I want to let each and every one of you know that it's still time to attend Amazing Grace School of Ministries. All you got to do is say, "Dr. Carey, I'm interested. I want to attend your class." Now we have a system where my class is literally on the radio or the blog or the talk show, and you certainly can listen to it, and we can discuss all that other stuff involved. If you just want to say, "I just want to take an elective and I just want to listen," just let me know. I'll let you listen. But certainly if you want CEUs, then we will discuss the cost of those CEUs. And I want to say this, all of you that could send Amazing Grace Ministries a donation, we're trying to reach the lost for Christ. This blog comes on every Saturday. It is my endeavor for 2019 not to let it lack, so it will be on the air every Saturday. It's been last year I wasn't able to do it, but now I have an individual that I thank God for in the person of Missionary Terry Rogers that's willing to come on and say, "Dr. Carey, I will come on and I will host your show for you." And certainly that's a blessing. So those of you that can send a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries, P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643, I would appreciate it. You could use Cash App if you have it, which is AGMI Maria Carey or Maria Carey AGMI, or you could send it to me via Zelle. So it is finances to help me continue to allow the Word of God to move forward. And the Lord just laid it upon my heart to just mention this. So hallelujah, praise God, it's been done. Let's get into the Word of God, shall we? Now let's read the topic scriptures. Now we have been going through a series. The series has been Being Buried Alive to Reign with Christ. Now, the first weekend in April, I did the topic, being buried alive. The second week, we came with the blood, hallelujah. Now, this week, we're coming with wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, hallelujah. That's, if you feel it, just say hallelujah. Where you at? Praise God. Let's read the scriptures. Isaiah 53:5 reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Hebrews 9:27-28. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Philippians 2:8 reads, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, You know, this is the time. Last week I was singing the seven last words in song, and you know, yesterday was Good Friday, praise the Lord. We had a Good Friday service at our church at the evening, and in the evening last yesterday, and I know many of you attended Good Friday service on yesterday morning. Now, no gospel, in reference to the seven last words, no gospel writer mentions more than three nor less than one of these utterances. And they are as follows. One, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. Woman, behold thy son. And there's some more in there. The end, behold thy mother. John 19:26. Four, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, I thirst, John 19:28. It is finished, John 19:30. And number seven, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Luke 23:43. The Gospels report seven utterances by Christ as he hung on the cross. Three of these can be assigned to the first 3 hours, between 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Four can be assigned to the next 3 hours, from 12 to 3 p.m., during which the scene was shrouded in darkness. Hallelujah. I want you to keep that in mind. Hallelujah. Now let's get into our topic, and all of this relates together. When we talk about being buried, that means that we're buried, we may be physically here. We may be yet still in the land of the living, but buried alive, I'm talking about our sin nature, our mindset, our daily walk in this world. So let's get to the material. Let's get to the topic focus, shall we? Now, when we look at wounds, is suffering injury or bodily harm as a laceration? It's a wound. It's impaired, damaged. You can be a wounded person. So that's wounded. But I want to get down to the nitty-gritty, and that is we want to talk about transgressions. Now, in Psalms 32:5, the psalmist says, I acknowledged my sins to you and did not cover up my iniquities. I say I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. In this one verse, sin, iniquity, and transgressions are all mentioned. Basically, the three words communicate the same idea. Evil and lawlessness, defined by God in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. So when we look at it and we can examine it, and we can break down iniquities, transgressions, and sins even further. So now when we look at sin, it means to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. It can refer to doing something against God or against a person in Exodus 10:16. Doing the opposite of what is right, Galatians 5:17, and doing something that will have negative results, Proverbs 24:33-34. Now get your pens out. If you can't get all the scriptures I'm reading, just go back and listen to it. and Paul's in righteous scriptures down, praise the Lord, and failing to do something you know is right, James 4:17. Now, in the Old Testament, God even instituted sacrifices for unintentional sins. And we talked about that on last week. We talked about the blood. We talked about the mercy seat. We talked about the Holy of Holies. No, we didn't talk about the mercy seat. We talked about the holiness of holiness and atonement. Hallelujah. Those unintentional sins in Numbers 15 and 27. Then sin is a general term for anything that falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. That's sin. Now, sin leads to a downward progression that if you're not restored by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll just be lost. The sin nature is present in every human being. It was there, it was born, it came into play. The fall of Adam in Genesis 3:6-7, and we can find Romans 5:12. It talks about that. So if we don't have the restoration, if we're not restored with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're just lost to sin. If sin is left unchecked, continuous sin leads to a reprobated mind, which is spoken of in Romans 1:24. Our sin nature causes us to gravitate naturally toward selfishness, envy, and pride, even when we are trying to do good. Now, that sin is something else. The Apostle Paul alluded to this sin when he wrote, for this propensity to sin, when he wrote, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me." Let me say that again. I'm going to repeat this. "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me." That is, in my sinful nature. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out." Romans 7:18. Now, sin, that sin nature leads us to transgressions. Now, it leads us to trespassing, and the trespasser is someone who crosses a line or climbs a fence that he should not cross or climb. So let me read that again. Let me state that again. The sin leads to transgressing. And a transgressor is someone who crosses a line or climbs a fence that he should not climb or cross. A transgress may be intentional or unintentional. Now, when you transgress, it can also mean to fall away, being close, beside. Peter transgressed when he denied Jesus in Luke 22:34 and verses 56-62. We all cross that line in thought, in words, or attitude many times a day, and should be quick to forgive others who do the same, and that's found in Matthew 6:15. Now, transgressions refers to this presumptuous sin. To transgress is to choose intentionally to disobey. Transgression is willfully transgressions is willfully trespassing. Samson intentionally broke the Nazarite vow by touching a dead animal, or that dead lion, in Numbers 6, verses 1 through 5, Judges 14, verses 8 through 9, and allowing his hair to be cut in Judges 16 and 17. In doing so, he was committing a transgression. David was referring to his this kind of sin when he wrote, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered," in Psalms 31 and 1. When we knowingly run a stoplight, knowingly, and tell a lie, or blatantly disregard an authority, we are transgressing. I'm going to say that again. When we knowingly ran a stop sign and we tell a lie about it, or blatantly disregard any authority, then we are transgressing. Now, iniquity. Let me talk about iniquity. Iniquity is more deeply rooted. It refers to a premeditated choice. To commit iniquity is to continue without repentance. David's sin with Bathsheba that led to the killing of her husband Uriah was iniquity. 2 Samuel 11, verses 3 to 4. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19. And Micah 2 and 1 says, "Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light they carry it out because it is in their power to do it." In David's Psalm of repentance, he cried out to God, saying, "Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins." Psalms 51 and 2. God forgives iniquities as he does any type of sin when we repent. Jeremiah 33 and 8, Hebrews 8 and 2. However, iniquity left unchecked leads to a state of willful sin with no fear of God. The buildup, unrepentant sin is sometimes pictured as a cup of iniquity being filled to the brim. Revelations 17 and 4 and Genesis 15 and 16. This often applies to nations who have forsaken God completely. Continued iniquity leads to unnatural affections, which leads to reprobated minds. A reprobated mind, Romans 1, 38 to 32, it outlines this in vivid detail. And we can see even in the Bible the sons of Eli who were examples of reprobates who God judged for their iniquities. 1 Samuel 3, verses 13, verses 14. They didn't, rather than repent, continued in their abomination until repentance was no longer possible. Hallelujah, but let's get to the root of this that I'm trying to get to on today. Praise the Lord. Checking my time. Isaiah 53 and 5. We've been talking about being buried alive. We've been talking about this season that we're in, and certainly we're about to get Jesus died on the cross, and we're about to get to Resurrection Sunday on tomorrow. And the saints of God, we call it Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. It's a day that we celebrate and we commemorate the fact that Christ rose from the dead and he is no longer in the tomb. Praise God. And now he's living in us through the Holy Spirit. So when we look at wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity, we want to just lay it out on the table so we can feast on tomorrow. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Now, we talked about what transgressions were for the sins of his own, but for ours, for our rebellion against God and our transgression against his law, that willfulness, that those sins that we committed, knowingly committed. But he said, I will be the sacrifice. In order to make atonement and satisfaction for them, it was needed for him to suffer and die. As he took upon the sins, he took upon the iniquities of us all. Hallelujah. It was meant for him to be wounded, not just merely wounded. He received in his hands, his feet, his side, the wounds made by the nails and the spear, all of the suffering, especially the being wounded unto death, was bearing the sins of his people. He was wounded for me. He was wounded for you. Those sins, those iniquities, those transgressions, he was wounded for me. Because we talked about on last week that the priest will go in on a yearly basis to make atonement for the people's sins. But Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be wounded for those sins, for those transgressions, for those things that you've done unto me and done in this world, for Adam and Eve, the fact that they sinned against me. Hallelujah. But I'm going to get your knowingly sins, those transgressions, those sins that you knowingly committed, those transgressions. And then I'm going to get those iniquities that were more deeply rooted. Hallelujah. Those premeditated choices. Hallelujah. Bless him. He was bruised, payment, punished for us. Now, he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, as corn is bread, or bread corn is bruised by threshing it and being grounded in the mill as manna, as spices are bruised in a mortar. And, you know, nowadays we put spices in a food processor and we put it on and it is cut up. So as it is chopped up, as it's broken, as it's crushed to pieces, so was the weight of sin and the punishment of it. Hallelujah. So the chastisement can be divided into three parts. That part one to David and the fathers, one to our generation, and one to the King Messiah. As is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for us. The punishment of this world was taken on his shoulders. He came, he bled, he died. And certainly God couldn't look upon him for those hours on the cross. They had to, it was dark. Because even in the midst of God being with him, sin, the price he paid for sin, as the veil of the temple was torn, God couldn't look upon sin. Because God the Father is a holy God. The punishment of our sins were inflicted on him, whereby our peace and our reconciliation with God was made by him. For the chastisement here was not designed for the chastisement of a father in love, such as the Father chastises his people, but of an act of justice in wrath, taking vengeance upon sin. So Jesus was attacking sin. Jesus was putting sin in his place. It was declaring, he was declaring judgment on sin. You will no longer keep my people away from being able to go to the throne of Christ, the throne of grace. You will no longer be able to separate my people or God's people from him. Hallelujah. It was paid, a ransom that was paid. Then, in that same verse says, and with his stripes we are healed. By his stripes, his bruises, the black and white marks, so called for the gathering and the setting of blood where the blow is given. You know, black and blue. You get hit and all of a sudden you see a red mark on your skin and it becomes black. It becomes blue. It becomes red. But all of that because the gathering of blood has been pulled to that spot where the blow has been given. Sin is a disease belonging to all men. A natural, hereditary, is natural and hereditary. It's a nuisance, and it is incomparable. It happens to all. It's in all. But the blood of Christ, forgiving sin, is a healing of this disease. This is to be had and no other way than through the stripes and the wounds, the blood and the sacrifice of the Son of God. Christ is a wonderful physician. He heals by taking the sickness of his people upon himself, by bearing their sins and being wounded and bruised for them. And by his enduring blows, suffering death itself for them, for us. So in translation, when we obey his words, our sins will be forgiven. But forgiveness is not through obedience, but through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. So when we look at the topic on today, and when we get to Sunday, certainly we celebrate this day 24/7, 7 days a week. Those of us that have a relationship with Christ know and understand that we live our Resurrection Sunday every day. Because we understand that if it had not been for Jesus on my side, where would I be? I would be lost. I couldn't make it. This world would bury me alive. It will bury me alive with the problems that I'm going through. It will bury me alive with unforeseen situations that cross my path as I live. It will bury me alive because there are things that happen that I have no control over. It will bury me alive because I don't know what tomorrow brings. It would bury me alive. But because Christ was wounded for me, because he was bruised for me, because the chastisement, hallelujah, was upon him, hallelujah, I can say I don't have to live in fear. I can say that I can trust a living Savior who makes a way out of no way. Because I remember yesterday, when I needed something to eat, or when I needed a bill paid, when I needed healing in my body, certainly Christ came along and he healed me. When situations happened in my life and I didn't know what I was going to do, I thought I would lose my mind, but Christ stepped in. And when he left here 40 days after he rose on Sunday, hallelujah, he said, look, I'm going to leave you the comforter. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were all on one accord, hallelujah. But that day, hallelujah, the comforter came, and that comforter is still yet available to us. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Hallelujah. We just have to give the Holy Spirit free reign. You ever tell the power arm? And certainly if you go back and listen to my blogs, you know I talk about this power arm so often because the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. Hallelujah. It set the commands that God the Father commanded. Holy Spirit put it in place. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit was there with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I am getting excited, y'all. Hallelujah. It excites me to know that Christ died for me. And certainly we all can celebrate and we all got a shout on. We know, we understand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those individuals that sacrificed their time to be on this morning. We pray even now, God, that you move, God, that you're mindful of those that couldn't be on today. We pray, God, that you'll move mightily in their lives. We pray, God, that you'll forgive them of all their transgressions, God, all their iniquities, God, and all their sins. God, we pray, God, that you'll touch and heal them. You said by your stripes we're healed. And we believe you by faith that we're healed. We've confessed our sins before you, God, and we pray even now, God, that you touch and heal our bodies, God. As we repent on a daily basis, Father God, we pray, God, that you'll move us closer to you. We pray, God, that you'll give us a desire to hunger and thirst after your word. Father God, we pray, God, that you'll give us those insight. Holy Spirit, comfort us. Holy Spirit, be with us. Holy Spirit, talk to us. Holy Spirit, give us a revival. You said that you would pour out Holy Ghost. Father, the word says that your Spirit shall be poured out on all men in this last and evil day. And we just confirm your word and we speak your word. Pour it out on all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Father God, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, and I thank you for each and every one on this blog, God. I praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And certainly, I want to again, my co-host that was on the blog on last week, she did a phenomenal job. She does a phenomenal job each and every time. And I pray for her. I pray that the Lord will bless her and keep her and shine upon her. And each and every one of you that were on today, and all my listeners that have listened or will listen, I pray even for them as well. So if you can, certainly if you can give a donation to this ministry, Amazing Grace Ministries, you can send a check to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. You can use the Cash App or even the Zelle. And if you just have any questions or if you just want to have any comments, you can give me a call at 309 or text 309-750-7584. And certainly I thank God for the feedback. I thank God when you tell me, good, Dr. Carey, I got some questions. I need you to answer this. Because it is the intention of Amazing Grace Ministries to give the word of God and to make it plain and to break it down so you can understand, so you can apply this word to your lives, because we have to live this word. We have to act out this word. We must understand that this world is not saved, and our flesh is not saved. Our flesh is not saved. And therefore, we have to make our home to live again. And in order to do that, we must live right. And our sin nature is contradictory to the word of God and the will of God. And I hope if you didn't get anything else out this lesson, you'll understand that Jesus went to the cross because he had to be the sacrifice for sin. Not merely the sacrifice, but he was a ransom, he was an offering for the wrath of sin. So remember that. Hallelujah. And again, I thank you. This is Dr. Carey. I see you next week with the end of the matter. Hallelujah. God bless. Bye-bye.